You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 598.
On flopcast.net.
Kevin and Cornflake like to have coffee and cartoons, and so they turned on their microphone and made a Flopcast just for you, might be. Sorry, they'll still turn your sad frown upside down, coming at you live from Chicken Town.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, I'm back. I was traveling a little bit, not too far, but I just got back, and here we are.
Are you still full of monster cereal?
We got some monster cereal follow-up talk to get to. So yeah, the monster talk shall continue, but you know, tis the season, so that's good. But how about let's start with National Whatever Day.
October 23rd is National TV Talk Show Host Day.
Oh, no.
TV talk show hosts. Do you know why it's October 23rd?
Is that like Sally Jesse Raphael's birthday?
Close.
Very, very close.
Johnny Carson.
Is that his birthday or is that the day he went on the air?
That's his birthday.
His birthday. Okay.
But interestingly, not the birthday of the first ever TV talk show host. So, trivia question for you, Kevin. Do you know who the first TV talk show host ever was?
Wow, that's a fantastic question. I mean, if on The Tonight Show, the first official Tonight Show host, I believe, was Steve Allen, then Jack Parr, and then Johnny Carson. He was the third full-time Tonight Show host. But was The Tonight Show the very first talk show? I don't know. What do you know about this?
It wasn't. I was going to see if giving you a hint changed your answer, because the first ever TV talk show host appeared on Conan O'Brien multiple times. So maybe if I mention his name, you'll recognize who it is.
I cannot think of who that may be if it's not one of the guys I just mentioned. Who in the world are we talking about?
It was Joe Franklin.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He had, I think it was circa 1951, the first ever TV talk show on WJZ-TV, which would go on to be WABC in New York.
Okay, yeah, he was an old, yeah, New York talk show guy. And I never really saw his show. I've heard people talk about his show. I knew him because Billy Crystal would do a Joe Franklin impression on Saturday Night Live.
So yeah.
That's the way I encountered the Joe Franklin show, was only through the Billy Crystal parody version.
Do you have a favorite talk show host on television?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was a Letterman kid, of course. I certainly was obsessed with the Letterman show in the 80s and into the 90s. And then I was fully on board with Conan as well. So those are probably my favorites, would be Letterman and Conan O'Brien. And these days, it would be nobody. I don't watch TV talk shows anymore.
That's so funny. I just got into it. It seems like I only get into, well, I mean, I did appreciate Arsenio Hall back in the day.
But, yeah, but what are you, you're watching like some guy in England that we've never heard of, right? I know you.
No, Stephen Colbert.
Oh, okay. I figured you were going back to all your British guys.
That's more panel show than talk show.
It's all about podcasting now.
It's true.
I listen to Conan O'Brien doing his podcast now. That's a good show. There's a reason that the Flopcast is recognized as the center of the entertainment world these days. The TV talk show is dead. The Flopcast rages on.
Long live the Flopcast.
It's just that nobody's listening. Okay, hooray for us. See how I made this all about us?
You're good at that.
It's a Christmas miracle. So we had some follow-up from last week. We did our Monster Cereal taste test, celebrating the release of the new Carmella Creeper Zombie Girl podcast cereal. Why doesn't Carmella have a podcast? I'd listen to that.
I don't know. She's got all the equipment for it.
Sure.
I mean, we're talking about a missed opportunity here.
She's ready to go. But yeah, we tried the Carmella Creeper Caramel Apple Monster Cereal. And we were talking about how this was the first lady monster serial, and perhaps even really the first major female serial mascot character that we could think of. So we got some feedback. We heard from a couple of people on the subject of, have there been serial mascots that weren't all just a bunch of dudes? So we heard from Lee, from our friend Eclectic Lee. I think Lee was just being silly, but he pointed out Mary Lou Retton on the Wheaties box, right? And I mean, I don't think Mary Lou's...
I can't classify her as a mascot.
Major credit is serial mascot. Yeah, that was funny of Lee to point out Mary Lou. And yeah, obviously we're not counting athletes on the Wheaties box. It did get me though looking. I went down the Wheaties rabbit hole of looking up who's been on the Wheaties box. And Wheaties started putting athletes on their cereal boxes in 1934, I think. And it only took a few boxes before they did have a woman. The first woman on a Wheaties box was Eleanor Smith, who was an aviator, followed by a married couple who were aviators also. So Wheaties are way into pilots.
High-flying Wheaties.
Evidently, early on. 1935, they had a woman, Babe Didrikson Zaharias. I don't know how you say that name. She was a golfer. So she was the first non-aviator woman to appear on Wheaties. And then it goes on from there. One thing I didn't know, though, all those early Wheaties boxes through the 30s, 40s, 50s, they weren't actually putting the people on the front of the box. They were on the side of the box or the back of the box.
Huh.
Up until 1958. So the first woman, as far as I could tell, to appear on the front of the box was a 1959, a swimmer named Esther Williams.
Nice.
You know Esther? You gasped at the name.
Yeah, Esther Williams. Wasn't she the synchronized swimmer?
I have no idea. Who was she synchronized with? They didn't list anybody else on the cover.
I think she was the leader of the synchronized swimmers.
Okay. But you're more in the swimming game than me.
True that.
With your water aerobics and such, and many other women over the years, where I'm not going to go through the list of every lady to grace the Wheaties box, but Mary Lou, certainly in 1984, Mary Lou Retton.
Do you know if they ever had Christy Yamaguchi on the box?
Yes. Yes, they did.
I remember that.
Figure skater Christy Yamaguchi. Yeah, some of the big ones that caught my eye as far as women, Jackie Joyner-Kersee, Misty May, beach volleyball champion Misty May, I remember. Serena Williams, of course. A bunch of good ones. Many, many more. Who do you think's been on the Wheaties box more often than anybody else? It's not a woman.
Is it Barry Manilow?
You're so close.
Really? Because I know that cereal has made it through the rain.
It's Toucan Sam. Hang on, I'm thinking of Fruit Loops. Michael Jordan. Basketball player, right. Michael Jordan has been on the Wheaties box 18 times.
Barry Manilow only 17.
Barry Manilow 17 times. He's catching up.
Somebody got to tell him he's never going to catch up to Michael Jordan.
I would buy a box of cereal with Barry Manilow on the box.
Me too.
Anyway, many, many women have been on Wheaties. I don't know that I'd classify any of them as a cereal mascot, but I think Lee was just goofing around with us. I think he would agree with us that we're not going to call Mary Lou a cereal mascot.
A mascot.
On a par with Frankenberry. But they're both great athletes. We can certainly agree on that. Now, Lee also mentioned the Applejack's kids, and I'd totally forgotten about that. Applejack's kids, and it was that the little boy and the little girl.
Oh, yeah. They looked like they were drawn onto the box.
Yes, like crayon-drawn children, and they were kind of hopping around. One of them would always be upside down, and they were in the commercials. And yeah, I forgot all about the Applejack's kids.
Fun fact.
Yep.
Eating Applejack's upside down, that's the best orientation in which to consume Applejack's.
Good to know. And they were pretty low-key as cereal mascots go.
Yeah, I don't even remember them at all.
They didn't really pop as a strong personality on a par with the Trix Rabbit.
Or Cookie Crook.
Cookie Crook and Sunny with the bird with the Cocoa Puffs and such. they were pretty subtle as far as serial mascot characters go. But absolutely, I think that's valid, though. We could count the Applejack's kids. And yeah, one of them was a girl. I looked up the Applejack's kids, and they started in the early 70s. They were the Applejack's mascots for about 20 years. They retired the Applejack's kids in the early 90s.
Wow. The Applejack's kids were around till the early 90s, and I don't remember them at all.
Check this out, though. According to the Wikipedia Applejack's page, which I know you refer to daily, it says, as of 2004, the marketing mascots are a carefree Jamaican cinnamon stick named Cinnamon and an accident-prone apple named Bad Apple. Wow.
Wow, that's really trippy.
Can we please bring back the Applejack's kids? That sounds very, very weird. I have not encountered the new Applejack's mascots. We also heard from our friend Matt, who provided a print review of Carmella Creeper for us last week. Matt also wrote in on the subject of other female serial mascots. Matt mentioned a couple of things. Again, kind of a stretch, but Matt mentioned Brunhilde, who was a little girl who was part of Captain Crunch's crew back in the day. Captain Crunch in the old commercials.
Yeah.
He was on his ship, and he had a whole gang, a whole crew of little kids on the ship with him. One of them was a little blonde girl named Brunhilde.
So a side character, but a character nevertheless.
Yeah, a very minor character, I would say. I'm not even sure if these kids were ever on the box, but they may have been. But they were certainly in the commercials. They made a lot of commercials back then in the 60s and 70s. And it would be like robbers and pirates would sneak aboard Captain Crunch's ship to try to steal the cereal, you know, and all these kids would be on board. There was a dog. There was a whole wacky gang working with the captain back then. Brunhilde, voiced by June Foray.
Very nice.
So that's cool. Yeah, we love June. Yeah, I'd forgotten all about Captain Crunch's gang of kids, including there was one girl. So that's a good catch by Matt. Matt also said Witchy Poo was once guest featured on a box of Honey Smacks.
Oh, fun.
I don't know what Matt's talking about. I hope that's true. I couldn't find it. So as in like Witchy Poo from H.R. Puffin stuff?
Right.
Did Witchy Poo appear?
You would think this is something you would know about, Kevin, if it was
this should
thing.
Be all I care about. On a box of Honey Smacks. So Honey Smacks was the used to be called Sugar Smacks, then they changed it to Honey Smacks, and that's the one with the frog. Dig'em the Frog was the mascot. I was searching around for evidence of this. I couldn't find any, so maybe Matt can provide more details.
What a backstory that would be.
You know, I did find Sugar Crisp, which had the bear, Sugar Bear.
Yep.
And they changed as well. They changed it to, Golden Crisp, and they had to keep changing their name to get the word sugar out of the out of the name of the cereal. But back in the day, Sugar Crisp with Sugar Bear had a character named Granny Goodwitch.
I kind of remember that.
Yeah, in some of the old Sugar Crisp commercials. Was Matt referring to Granny Goodwitch, who appeared with the Sugar Bear? I don't know. But anyway, a supporting character at best, but certainly worth noting. And then you thought of Pebbles.
Right.
As in Cocoa Pebbles and Fruity Pebbles. Yeah, there is, of course, Pebbles from the Flintstones.
Better known for the Flintstones than the cereal, though, I think.
And in fact, if you look at the cereal boxes and if you go back and watch all the old commercials for Fruity Pebbles and Cocoa Pebbles, it was more Fred and Barney than Pebbles or Pebbles and Bam Bam. You didn't see a lot of Pebbles, the character, the little girl.
Right. It's the two guys who are actually in the box.
Yeah, she was kind of squeezed out of her own cereal, her own namesake cereal. They just wanted to get those guys on the cover of the cereal.
It's just not right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Flintstones have a history of being rather sexist, you know. If you recall the controversy over for decades, they didn't make a Betty vitamin. You know, you get your Flintstones vitamins, where's Betty?
I remember how upset we were about that.
Sure. They made Dino. They made Fred's car as a vitamin and yet ignored one of the main characters on the show. But again, worth noting that pebbles certainly would pop up in some of the commercials and some of the boxes on occasion. So good catch by Lee and Matt and you, thinking of those other examples of some female serial characters. I think Lee is coming closest in naming the Applejacks kids.
Agree. Yep.
But again, unless we're all still missing something, I think Carmela is could still perhaps be the first major female serial mascot. So congratulations, Carmela. I think the mayor of Chickentown has been chomping on our leftover Carmela Creeper cereal all week.
Oh, I got cereal coming out of my ears with the Monster Mix smash.
And I just had that one handful during the show last week. I haven't touched it since.
I'm still recovering from it.
But I have something new here related to the Monster cereals.
Ooh.
The mayor handed me a box of a weird new item that I did not know existed. I have here a box of something called Monster Mash Remix Spooky Berry Fruit Flavored Snacks.
That sounds really good.
This is, I have no idea if they're any good. I have not sampled them, but, and this is for real. This is connected to the Monster cereals, but it's some kind of weird candy fruit snack thing.
It's so weird that this did not come along sooner in the heyday of fruit snacks.
It's from Betty Crocker, Monster Mash, Spooky Berry Fruit Flavored Snacks, and this is official. This is connected to the Monster cereals. It has all six monsters are on the box. You got Chocula, Frankenberry, Booberry, the other old guys, Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy, plus the new Carmela Creeper. They're all on the box.
It's quite the mix of flavors.
Inside the box is little individual bags. I just fished one out. So now I've got this little pack of whatever these things are. Weirdly, on the packs, the little bags inside, the little individual pouches, Carmela is not on these pouches. It's just the five guys.
Oh, that is weird.
So could they have designed these pouches like a couple of years ago? They put Carmela on the box, but not on the little bags inside. So I'm going to rip this open right now. Let's see what in the world's going on here. I did check the ingredients. The no gelatin in these. Unlike the cereals, these are animal product free, as far as I can tell. And let's see. There's many different colors. And yeah, each one is shaped like, it looks like the head of one of the cereal mascot characters.
I'll be interested to see if you can line up the flavor with the color.
Again, I don't think there's a Carmela Creeper. They might have made these like 6 years ago, and then this year they just made the new box.
Well, the good news, whatever they're made out of, they stay good for a really long time.
I'll bet there was a warehouse just full of these things from from the year 2017. And now, with the introduction of Carmela, there's just make a new box and let's get these things on a truck and get them out of here.
Now's our big chance.
I'm kind of afraid to chomp into these things right now because it looks like these would just...
like stick directly to your teeth?
Yeah, I may not be able to speak again for the rest of the show. So I think I'm just going to put them aside for now. Maybe I'll try them later when I'm not recording a podcast. But they're here. You should know, people. Go out and see if you can find yourself a box of Monster Mash fruit snacks featuring all our favorite monster cereal characters.
I used to take those fruit snacks and just stick them all together in a big ball and then eat them that way.
Weird. I don't know that I've ever had a fruit snack.
You're not missing much.
They kind of remind me, they seem like they'd be like those stupid candies, you know, like dots. Remember dots?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they're sort of like that, perhaps. Which are just horrible, right?
Right.
Nothing worse than a dot.
I would say fruit snacks are a step up from dots.
Okay.
But there's not that much of a step up.
Someone took a dot and they smushed it so it's shaped like Count Chocula. And now it's being foisted upon the children.
And you.
And me. I'm the real victim here. I was traveling a little bit. I was away for this past weekend. I went up to Vermont.
Vermont's a cool place.
I was up there for a running event. Without my team.
So solo.
Everybody I run with, they were all in Lowell. And you know Lowell, Massachusetts. Everybody else was in Lowell for the Bay State half marathon or full marathon.
Oh, yeah. I think I have a friend who was a court martial for that.
Yeah.
I keep calling them court martials.
Well, you know, I'm sure there were a lot of arrests. A lot of crimes were committed.
A course martial. I think one of my friends was a course martial.
I'm sure most of the runners were hauled away in zip ties, and it did not end well. And you and I have a deep, dark history with Lowell. We know how crazy that town is.
Yes, we do. And it has only gotten crazier from what I understand.
But they were all there either running 13 miles or 26 miles. Meanwhile, I was up in Vermont, and I only had to run 4 miles. I went to a 4-mile race event.
Oh, I see your game.
See? That got me out of having to run around Lowell all day. Just go to Vermont, 4 miles.
Well, if you get to choose between Lowell and Vermont, I mean, come on.
That is not a difficult choice. It's a 4-mile race, which is a weird distance for a race. You know, it's not a 5K. It's not a 10K. It's not 5 miles. It's 4 miles. And I've done that a couple of times before. Last time I was in a 4-mile race, it was an accident.
Because you went over, right?
We talked about it on the Flopcast. Brittany and I, my classy chickens, our running teammate Brittany, we went to do a 5K. And yeah, everybody just went the wrong way or something weird happened. And it turned accidentally into a 4-mile course instead of a 3.1-mile course. This one was actually a 4-mile course from the Alchemist Brewery up in Stowe, Vermont. Lovely area. And it was at a brewery. So, you know, you finish the thing and they throw a beer at you at the end. So that worked
out. Your favorite part. I know.
I just kicked back at the end and I was just watching the results online of all my friends, you know, killing themselves down in Lowell. A fine time anyway, up there, a good run. But then it got me thinking though, because we are in Halloween season and we've been chatting about monsters the last couple of weeks. I've got this book here, The Vermont Monster Guide.
I remember you bringing this out on the show before.
We've played with this book a couple of times before. I did an episode speaking to Brittany of But First Let's Talk Nerdy, our sister podcast, which is currently on hiatus. But a couple of years ago, I was a guest on their show. And yeah, we talked about monsters for that whole show. And I selected a monster out of this book. But it's this wacky book. It's beautiful. Beautifully illustrated by Stephen Bissett, who drew Swamp Thing for DC Comics back in the 80s. Co-creator of John Constantine and a Vermont native, Stephen Bissett. He did all these beautiful illustrations of all the monsters in Vermont. There's a lot of monsters in Vermont. This book attempts to document all of them.
All the Vermonsters.
Yeah. And the big one is Champ. That's they have the lake monster. It's sort of a Loch Ness monster type. They've got one of those up in Vermont, up in Lake Champlain.
Champlain,
yep. They have Champ, of course. That's the monster I talked about on the podcast a couple of years ago. But I started flipping through this book to see. I don't think I spotted any monsters when I was up there. I did travel through Northfield, the town of Northfield in central Vermont. And there is a monster in this book that was spotted in Northfield in the early 70s, the Pig Man.
That sounds creepy.
So I was watching out for the pig man when I was up there, and I'm afraid I did not see the pig man. But yeah, there were apparently several sightings of like a human-sized, walking on two legs thing, but with the head face of a pig.
That is wild.
And I think there's actually a beer named after the pig man these days.
Pigman beer.
Because Vermont has about 87,000 breweries. Maybe that's why there's so many pigman sightings. Everybody's just staggering around all beard up, and there's the pigman.
Distorts everyone's face.
I did not see the pigman, I'm sorry to say, although he looks very cool in this book. So I did travel through Northfield. The Alchemist Brewery, where I was up there to run, that is in Stowe, Vermont, just north of Waterbury, Vermont. So I drove through Waterbury on the way to the race. You had to go right by Ben and Jerry's to get to the Alchemist. Causes a lot of traffic. You know, all the tourists are going to see
it. Yeah, been through there.
The ice cream factory of the Ben and Jerry's Corporation.
Yes.
But there are no monsters in this book from Waterbury or Stowe, sorry to say, which explains why during my 4-mile run, I did not encounter any monsters.
It would be cool if, like, some sort of ice cream cone monster joined the ranks of the lore.
There should be some Ben and Jerry themed monsters creeping around Waterbury, Vermont.
A mint chocolate chip would give a nice ghastly green.
Sure. And what's the monkey? The chunky monkey, right?
Oh, yeah. Chunky monkey monster.
That's perfect. It already sounds like a monster. There should be a chunky monkey just creeping around the woods of Vermont.
A half-baked chunky monkey.
That's terrifying. I kind of took the long way home yesterday as I was heading back towards Massachusetts. And I went through Brattleboro, Vermont. You know, lovely town. And there is a monster in this book from Brattleboro. It's called Big Head.
Someone got real creative there.
And this says this was a pretty recent sighting. One evening in 1998. So this is just, you know, a quarter century ago. Two women driving north on the interstate near Brattleboro. Some cars were passing them on the highway. When one car was parallel to theirs, both women got a quick look at the passenger in the back seat, a grotesque human-like being with a huge, bulbous head,
whoa,
pasty skin, spindly neck.
Yikes.
Riding in the back seat, being taxied somewhere. Big Head.
Big Head.
Passing car with its odd occupant pulled ahead, vanished out of sight.
See, this is the reason why you don't look into other people's cars while you're driving.
It sure looks creepy in this illustration I'm looking at by Swamp Thing artist Stephen Bissette. Did a beautiful job capturing Big Head. I wish I'd seen Big Head yesterday. I drove right through Brattleboro.
You're looking in everybody's cars?
Every single car I was checking, looking for Big Head, yeah. I would beep my horn, you know, and kind of motion frantically to each driver as if to say, is Big Head in the back seat of your car? Let me see. So you got to watch out when you're in Vermont. Cornflake, the lesson is, you know, watch out.
Big heads and pigmen and no monster ice creams. Got it.
Vermont bursting with monsters, just lousy with freakish pigmen and big-headed men everywhere you look.
Well, they're attracted to beer. That's why.
That's a lot of beer, a lot of ice cream, a lot of pigmen. There's a reason I don't work for the Tourism Bureau for the state of Vermont. We're slowly discovering. All right, that gets us caught up, I think. As Halloween season continues here on the Flopcast, who knows what's going to happen next? Well, we're hurtling towards episode 600 as well, right? 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, very close.
And listeners, you'll be very excited to learn. We have no idea what we're doing for episode 600. So don't expect anything very good. But I guess we'll give it some thought. Meanwhile, Cornflake, I guess we can wrap this up. Go ahead and get us out of here.
That seems like a good idea. Between shows, you can find us at flopcast.net, facebook.com/flopcast. On Mastodon, our handle is universodon.com/@flopcast. And we're on Instagram as well, the_flopcast. We love it when you go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and or a review. That's the best place for that. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness, we were the first comedy band to appear on a box of Wheaties.
On the front or on the side?
We were on
the bottom.
That's correct. We were like the prize inside the box. You had to fish us out, you know? In any event, it was a huge disaster for all involved. Cornflake, thanks for getting through another week of Halloween season with me. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us. Please remember, be safe, be kind, be silly. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
I love that Star Trek does what adventure programs do. It's fun characters going on adventures wearing colorful outfits, but it tries to be more than that. It tries to say something more about humanity and tries to encourage us to be better people.
I love that it gives a really positive and really hopeful view of the future.
I like that you never know what you get with Trek, from Captain Pike to Picard to Captain Proton.
I like the Ferengi.
Earth Station Trek, a show where we talk about Star Trek from the early days on NBC to the future on Paramount Plus and everywhere in between.
Okay, Cornflake, secret after show. I've got this ripped open pack of...
You got the fruit snacks.
Monster Mash fruit snacks here. All right, let's do it. I'm going to try.
Yeah, because you got to keep the show short at this point so people don't find the after show.
This one looks like blueberry.
That'd be the one that I would try first, too. I'd say that has the most potential as fruit snacks go.
I'm going to give it a chomp. What if this makes me talk like Peter Lorre? That'd be a very pleasant side effect.
Yeah. I would say, don't forget me when you're famous. Uh-oh, Kevin, have we lost you?
All right, I'm chomping on the blueberry. Yeah, as I suspected, it's for the best that I didn't try this during the show. Because, yeah, this...
Stuck to your choppers!
This might be permanent.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.